Okay, so let's dive into this. We're looking at a trade today that wasn't just, profitable. It was really a masterclass in seeing where geopolitics and tech were heading. We're focusing on a hedge fund called the Situational Awareness Fund, or SF, and specifically their absolutely massive, really high conviction bet on Intel. That's INTC. Now, the founder, Leopold Aschenbrenner. He's interesting. Former OpenAI researcher, only 23 years old when he launched SF back in 2024.
Yeah, and not just on his own. He got some serious tech backing, people like the Collison brothers from Stripe.
Right. And here's the really wild part. By mid-2025, so pretty quickly, this fund grew to manage somewhere between, what, $1.5 and $2 billion?
An incredible ramp up, and it's not just the size, it's the performance. The fund apparently returned a positive 47% net in just the first half of 2025.
Wow, 47%. And the S&P 500 during that time.
Was maybe up, what, 6%, something like that? So they crushed it. And we're going to drill down into how their single biggest bet, this huge pile of Intel call options, set them up perfectly for that massive news that hit the semiconductor world this September.
Ah, yes, the payoff. September 18th, 2025. NVIDIA, the absolute giant in AI chips, announces this big collaboration with Intel.
And not just a collab, a $5 billion investment in Intel stock.
5 billion. That news just sent Intel stock through the roof. It jumped, what was it, nearly 23% in one day.
An enormous move for a company that size.
And because SA had this highly leveraged options position already in place, well, people watching the market think they probably made hundreds of millions of dollars just from that one event.
Exactly. It really lived up to the fund's name, didn't it? Situational awareness. It wasn't just luck, it was seeing something coming.
The culmination of a very specific, very aggressive thesis. So let's unpack that thesis because it really is the key here. Aschenbrenner actually wrote this long document, like 165 pages, called Situational Awareness, The Decade Ahead.
Right.
If you had to boil down the core philosophy there, what was driving their investments?
Well, at its heart, it's all about artificial general intelligence, AGI. Aschenbrenner makes the case pretty strongly that AGI isn't some far-off dream. He thinks it's coming this decade.
This decade, okay.
Yeah, and that it's going to completely reshape, well, everything, the
Right.
global economy. So the fund is set up to capitalize on that. It's explicitly unconstrained, meaning they can use options, leverage, make really concentrated bets. The strategy is basically go long on the stuff needed for AGI, I think semiconductors, data centers, even energy, and then go short the industries that AGI is going to, displace or make obsolete.
Long the future, short the past. That classic hedge fund approach.
Exactly.
Okay, that makes sense for maybe NVIDIA or data center companies. But Intel, I
Yeah.
mean, let's be honest, Intel's had its struggles, delays, losing market share. It hasn't exactly screamed immediate AI winner.
Right.
So you can't just be long the AI theme generally and pick Intel, can you? Why Intel for such a massive bet? That feels like the crucial question.
And this is where the situational awareness part really comes into play. And it's fascinating. Their reasoning wasn't really about Intel's next earnings report or current chip performance.
Okay.
It was almost entirely about geopolitics, national security. Aschenbrenner's argument, his core thesis for Intel, was that the US needs domestic chip manufacturing for its own AI future and, well, its national security. And Intel has something unique. It's the only major US-based company that's seriously trying to build leading-edge semiconductor foundries on American soil.
Ah, okay, so the bet wasn't on Intel figuring out its tech problems overnight.
Not primarily, no.
It was a bet that, because of the strategic importance, the U.S. government and maybe industry partners would have to step in and support Intel's foundry efforts. Essentially, a bet on national security forcing investment.
Precisely. It was a national security imperative disguised as an AI investment, a bet on strategic necessity winning out.
And they didn't just dip their toes in. They backed this idea with incredible concentration. You mentioned that Intel call option position. How big was it relative to the fund?
In mid-2025, the value of those call options was reportedly around $450 million.
Almost $500 million on options. For a fund that size, run by someone so young, that shows an almost frightening level of conviction in that geopolitical read.
Absolutely terrifying confidence, or genius, depending on how it turned out, which, spoiler alert, it turned out pretty well.
Right. So let's get into the mechanics. We know the why. How did they structure the how? They didn't just buy Intel stock, they used call options. Can you break that down for us? What's the difference, and what kind of risk does that add?
Sure. So they built up this very large long call option position, mostly in Q1 of 2025. Now, a call option basically gives you the right, but not the obligation, to buy a stock at a set price, the strike price, before a certain date. You pay a premium for this right, which is much less than the cost of buying the stock itself. Assaf ended up holding options controlling, let me check the number. Yeah, 20,237,400 underlying shares of Intel.
20 million shares worth of options. But crucially, you're saying they held no actual Intel common stock.
Correct. According to their filings, zero common stock. And interestingly, no Intel put options either. Put options are a bet the price will go down. They only wanted the upside.
So they skipped owning the shares entirely and went straight for the amplified bet using options. Why do that instead of just buying the stock? What's the advantage?
Leverage. Pure and simple. Let's say you buy Intel stock and it jumps 23% like it did. Your profit is 23% minus trading costs. But if you buy a call option, that same 23% jump in the underlying stock can make the option's value increase by maybe 100%, 200%, even more, depending on the specifics of the option.
Because the option premium is only a fraction of the stock price to begin with.
Exactly. It's like using a lever, or your slingshot analogy from earlier. A small initial cost for potentially explosive gains. The flip side, of course, is risk.
Right. If the stock doesn't move enough or goes the wrong way,
your option can expire worthless. You lose 100% of the premium you paid. So it's high risk, high reward.
And as we said, highly concentrated.
Yeah.
That position, those Intel calls, made up nearly 46% of the fund's entire reported market value back in Q1 2025. Almost half the fund on one options bet.
Yeah. And what's also telling is their conviction. They held that exact same massive position size right through Q2. They didn't flinch, didn't trim. They were clearly waiting for their thesis to play out, not just trading quarterly noise.
Okay, now this next part of the structure is, I think, maybe the most sophisticated piece. You mentioned they were bullish on Intel and also Broadcom, apparently. But it wasn't just a simple long chips bet. They had this complex hedge in place, too. What was that about?
Right. This is where it gets really interesting from a risk management perspective.
Mm-hmm.
While they were incredibly bullish on Intel specifically, they were simultaneously quite bearish on the rest of the semiconductor sector, sort of as a hedge.
Bearish on the rest of the sector. How did they express that?
Their single largest reported holding in Q2 2025, bigger even than the Intel calls by value at that point, was a massive position in put options on the VanEck Semiconductor ETF. The ticker is SMH.
Wait, hold on. SMH. That ETF holds like all the big chip names, right? NVIDIA, AMD, yeah. Broadcom, the whole lot.
Everything. It's the main semiconductor index tracker.
And they bought puts on it, betting it would go down. They had over 20,000 put contracts, representing something like 27% of their portfolio value.
That's right.
So let me get this straight. Massively long Intel calls, but also massively short the entire sector via SMH puts. Wouldn't those just cancel each other out if the whole sector rose, including Intel? That seems counterintuitive.
It does at first glance, but that's the brilliance or perhaps the nuance of the trade structure. They weren't betting on the broad semiconductor sector going up. They were making a very specific bet on relative outperformance, driven by their unique Intel thesis.
Okay. Relative outperformance. Explain that.
By pairing the huge long Intel call position with a huge short SMH put position, they were essentially saying, we believe Intel is going to significantly outperform its peers, even if the overall semiconductor market, SMH, faces headwinds like maybe oversupply concerns or economic softness. The SMH puts acted as a hedge. If the whole chip sector tanked, the gains on their SMH puts would cushion the blow to their portfolio. It protected their main bet, the Intel calls, from just broad market downward pressure.
So it isolated their bet.
Yeah.
They only needed their specific Intel thesis, the national security government support angle, to be right. The hedge took care of general market risk in the sector.
Exactly. It allowed them to make that incredibly concentrated bet on Intel with a safety net against sector-wide downturns. It focused the risk purely on their core, unique insight about Intel's strategic position. Very sophisticated structuring.
Fascinating. Okay, let's talk about the payoff then. Because that thesis, that geopolitical angle Ashburn was betting on, it really started to come true in late summer 2025, didn't it?
It really did. The dominoes started to fall right on schedule for them. In late August, you had the U.S. government step in. They engineered a deal using CHIPS Act money to take a near 10% equity stake in Intel.
Wow, direct government investment. That's validation right there of the national security thesis.
Huge validation. And then almost immediately after, hot on the heels of that news,
SoftBank came in.
SoftBank invested $2 billion into Intel as well. So now you had government backing and major private capital flowing in, both supporting the domestic foundry push, just like the fund seemed to anticipate.
The pieces were falling into place.
Precisely. But the real fireworks, the moment that cemented the trade as legendary, was September 18th, the NVIDIA announcement.
Right. NVIDIA, the AI king, comes out and says, we're collaborating with Intel, which immediately gives Intel a huge boost in credibility on the tech front.
And critically, NVIDIA didn't just say nice things. They put their money where their mouth was, committing $5 billion to buy Intel common stock at $23.28 in share.
That $5 billion was the definitive stamp of approval, wasn't it? The market absolutely erupted.
Sent the stock soaring, that massive 23% jump in a single day, the biggest one-day percentage gain for Intel since, I think, 1987.
Incredible. And because Sackoff was sitting there with that enormous pile of long call options, that leverage effect we talked about just went into overdrive.
Exactly. That 23% stock surge translated into potentially multiples of that in profit on their options position. It was the perfect storm. The thesis playing out, the catalyst event hitting, and the maximally leveraged position ready to capture it.
Anticipation meeting opportunity perfectly executed.
Couldn't have timed it better if they tried. They didn't just predict the direction. They seemed to predict the reason for the move, the strategic necessity, and positioned for maximum impact when it happened.
So wrapping this up, what's the big picture here? The Situational Awareness Fund, I mean, they certainly lived up to their name on this one.
You could say that again.
They saw Intel not just as a tech company, but as a key piece of geopolitical infrastructure. They used leveraged options to back that conviction. And crucially, they managed the risk by hedging against the broader sector with those SMH puts.
It's really a textbook example of high conviction investing driven by a thesis that went way beyond just looking at quarterly earnings or price to earnings ratios.
And the exact profit. We don't know the final number yet, do we?
Not officially. The fund's public Q3 2025 filing, the one that will cover this September period, isn't required until mid-November. But given the size of the position and the move in Intel, yeah, it undoubtedly turned their already stellar year into something truly exceptional. We're talking huge numbers.
So the lesson here seems to be about looking beyond the obvious metrics. SAF bet on something becoming strategically vital, almost too critical to fail from a national perspective, even while it was struggling by traditional measures.
That's the core insight, I think. They identified an asset, Intel's potential domestic foundry capacity, that was becoming indispensable, and bet that market forces and government action would eventually have to recognize that value.
Which brings us to the final thought for you, our listener, to maybe chew on after this. We've seen how a national security critical designation, even implicitly, drove massive value for Intel. So think beyond semiconductors for a second. What other industries or specific companies are maybe in a similar position right now? Think about areas like maybe critical energy infrastructure or domestic supply chains for rare earth minerals, perhaps advanced manufacturing capabilities.
Yeah, areas where a government might feel compelled to step in or support them for strategic reasons, almost regardless of their current profitability or market sentiment.
Exactly. Where might that national security overlay create investment opportunities that the market isn't fully pricing in yet, especially if those sectors are facing short-term headwinds today?
It adds a whole different layer to investment analysis, doesn't it? That geopolitical, national interest angle. It's something worth keeping in mind.
Definitely something to think about. Until next time.